This is D&D Encounters, Council of Spiders, and this is week 6. This is the third and final encounter of chapter 2, but there's a very strong likelihood there won't be any combat, so keep that in mind, but have your dice on the ready, just in case. I handed out those summary sheets. This is this summary sheet is a list of what you know or should have known, because I know we've been playing at different tables, and some of you guys might have missed some sessions. This is what you know. Really, what you need to know most importantly is the stuff in the middle. So the 3 bullets, what you've learned so far about the different groups, although this third bullet you don't really know a lot about at this point. This the little box test here under now, and then the so where do we stand now. This is what we're going to do tonight. So just take a minute to read that while I finish getting set up. And in the meantime, can we just go around and tell me who you're playing? We'll start with Craig here and go around.
I'm playing Vorgrim. I am a male drow fighter playing the Slayer build.
I'm Mike. I'm playing a Maul Battle Mind. He doesn't know his actual name. He just goes by Dirt, as he's referred to by his drow masters. He's a slave.
Right.
He absolutely reveres all drow.
Do you need a mini?
Nope, I have one.
Okay, good.
I need a mini.
Who are you playing?
I'm Ronan. I am a female drow hexblade warlock.
I'm playing Brasil. He is a blackguard, human blackguard, and uses a big nasty chain.
I'm playing Vorgrim slash Gullendeer. You see a drow wizard, House Lauren. He's actually undercover Ladrin, but you guys don't.
Right.
Until you start teleporting around.
Well, not in plain sight.
Of course not.
People's backs are turning me.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you wearing drow face? Is that what's happening?
I've got cantrips, I got disguises, a ritual was put on me before my little adventure.
It's a top secret undercover agent.
Top secret bull. Okay. I'm here to sabotage, I'm here to just observe.
Okay, so if you recall, in the last 2 sessions, basically chapter 2, the characters were asked to rescue Hoshtar Zaloran. He had been captured, or possibly willingly had gone to the hideout where the Council of Spiders were chilling out, and he had disappeared. So the priestess, Alea, I think's her name, or Alasha, or Alla something. I can't remember her name right now. She's House Malarn. She and Rokalar, who was your contact with Brigadareth, had suggested that you guys go and rescue the missing Hoshtar, or if it turns out he's there of his own free will, that's important to note as well. So the last 2 sessions, you guys went in. First encounter, we did the top level. The second encounter, we did the lower level. A couple of you guys had some fairly gruesome fates, but look, we waved the magic DM wand and everybody's back. So this week, we pick up right where last week's left off. So you guys come to in the basement of the Council of Spiders. You take a look around, collect some swag, whatever else, and then the mission, as it was described, was once you've either found Hoshtar's body or found or are able to rescue him, or if he's not willing to come willingly, find out what's going on, come back and report. And you are expected to go to one of Rokalar's hideouts. He's got like a small house on the edge of Menzoberranzan. So is there anything that you guys would want to do or discuss before you get there? Keep in mind that Hoshtar, did you guys rescue him? Yeah, he came too, right?
Yeah.
So Hoshtar is with you. It is possible to to discuss some of the events out of earshot, but he's not stupid, and if he sees that you guys are, having little private conversations, he's going to make a point of trying to overhear them. He's higher level than you. Like, he's been at this a little bit longer, and he's probably a lot older and a lot wiser, so he's not going to be blatant about it. So if you want to have an open discussion with him there, go for it. You can ask him questions, he'll do his best to respond, but if there's any secret information, again, you can do a couple of quick back and forths, but any sort of longer conversations, you'll need to figure out how to have them without him overhearing. So with that in mind, does anybody want to do anything, or does anyone have anything they want to discuss before you get back in front of the leaders?
I think I would probably I would immediately want to ask him how it is like a wizard of his stature was able to be captured by by this group?
He's actually quite forthcoming about it. So, like, I mean, he's obviously grateful that you guys came to his aid. Like, he explains, and you guys can tell, like, he was beaten to within an inch of his life. And had you guys not shown up when you did, they probably would have just ended up killing him. But the fact that you guys showed up, it gave him, you know, it gave his body a chance to sort of mend up a bit, and he was able to roll that 20 on the saving throw and wake himself up. And so now the combat is over. I assume your characters would have provided him with some first aid, so he's able to walk, but he's still, like, he looks like a professional boxer who's just gone through 12 rounds. Like, he's in bad shape.
I offer him the cuddle of my mouse.
An offer which he will certainly accept. But in order,
by the strap.
So back to Craig's question, though, he does explain, like, you're like, you know, what the hell were you doing here? Because clearly, you know, there weren't his buddies. He says that he, as a wizard and as part of House Malarn, who's like the top wizard house, when he heard about the Council of Spiders, he's been curious to how they operate and where they work. And so far, he hasn't, his information network has not been able to provide a lot of detail. And then one of his lesser cousins, still a member of his house, but like a very lesser member of his house, came to him and sort of said, look, I know people that can get you an audience with this Council of Spiders. As a prominent wizard in a prominent house, we would really like you to hear what we have to say, because we think if you come on board, you can give us legitimacy. And of course, he's, you know, I mean, ultimately the Council of Spiders wants to see the males gain power. So regardless of his personal politics, at the end of the day, he's still a male drow. So he was willing to at least listen to what they had to say. So basically, he explains that this cousin brought him to this hideout, and then once he got there, it was, oh, we're gonna have you speak with our senior membership, and they brought him down to that library, and then all that was there were those dark creepers and the assassin, and he realized, things are bad. There was already those two other wizards that had been killed. Clearly, they had been like beaten up first, and they got the jump on him. He said they started to try and interrogate him, but when they realized, as a wizard, if you leave his mouth free, he could potentially cast spells. So they asked him some very basic questions, which he was obviously not cooperative, and they just said, okay, enough of this. He's not going to help us. Beat him up. So he explains that the cousin, and along with a couple of his other cousins from his house, he recognized them among the bodies as you guys left. So he's like, hopefully those were the only ones who were a part of this group, but you never know. He's going to start making, you know, inquiries in his house once all this is resolved. So yeah. Right, that's basically what he's got.
Sounds legit, the story.
Yeah. I mean, you get the sense that he's probably leaving stuff out, but any drow would leave stuff out. Okay. Information's so power.
Honestly, as he explained this, I'll look around the rooms here today and pick up, because we didn't pick anything up.
No, there's nothing out of the ordinary beyond what you guys found last week. Did you guys find swag?
No, we found no swag.
Oh, there was supposed to be swag. I think we were just, it took so long. I'm like, let's just hit it.
Yeah.
Are there any females from House Malarn here?
I think
the house. I don't think any of the PCs playing tonight are female. Are you guys all playing male characters?
I'm a female.
But you're the other house? House Malarn?
Yeah, he's House Malarn.
You're a warlock, right?
I'm gonna choose a house.
Yeah, what's his face?
Ram was playing female.
Yeah, Ram was definitely a priestess from Malarn. Okay. Alright, so I just want to make sure.
You got a d20 there? Give me a roll, please.
10.
Okay. You guys, so among the swag.
I don't know what that is.
Sure, we'll give you that. Anybody playing a leader? Okay.
No.
Okay, so you guys find in the library, when you guys search, and there was a magic item that one of the dead wizards had called the Staff of Striking. It's a +1 Staff of Striking.
Yeah.
So if you can use staff as an implement, or you want to switch up and use a staff as your weapon, someone can take that. I mean, someone will take it anyway, but someone can actually use it. It's got an encounter power. When you hit an adjacent creature with an implement or weapon attack using the staff, you can push them one square and knock them prone, and it does D8 on a critical as opposed to the normal D6. So you guys can decide if someone wants to actually use that. You also find on the assassin that you guys were fighting last week, he has plus one Delver's armor, which I believe can be any kind of armor, and you find two healing potions.
Okay. I shake the healing potion. I'm like, I turn to the drow. I'm like, what's your permission? Or how do you want to wear these potions?
It being a rough and tumble melee character, I would like the Delver's armor.
Since I don't hear any objections.
Anyone else gonna go for it?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Once in the other session I got the weapons. Just switched it out.
So you're using a staff now, yeah?
Well, I did, but then I was like.
Okay. But you can use the staff as an implement as well, right?
Right.
Because of your class, so yeah, you definitely should take it.
Well, I took it with the other set, like when I was playing last weekend, and I switched it out.
Oh, okay. So don't forget to add the plus one to your attacks, the plus one to damage. Don't forget to add the plus one to your armor class.
Indeed.
You can also upgrade that to a different kind of armor. So if you're wearing chain, you want to upgrade to plate. If it's something that you can wear, you can do that as well.
Yep. All right.
You could have a pretty big swing going on here with your thing. Okay. Let's see, what else was there? Okay, did anyone else have any questions? Either for Rokalar or just in general? Or for Ashtar? Ashtar?
I'll ask Ashtar. Ashtar is the one who was in capture?
He was the wizard, yeah.
Okay. Ask, if I may be so bold, have you ever learned any information on the Council of Spiders that perhaps we didn't know before?
No, but as far as the Council of Spiders, he's basically told you everything he knows. From that, you're again, it's clear that, I mean, he's not giving you his life story, but from that point of view, he realizes, like, you guys have all been working together to try and find information about this Council of Spiders. This doesn't seem like a detail he would hold back, and he tells you, like, basically the story he just told you, that's all he's learned. You would already know that the Council of Spiders, what is it here? Council of Spiders seeks to take advantage of the creation of the Demon Weave and gain male representation on the ruling council of Menzel Branson. That you would already know, and that's just all that's what he can confirm, that their numbers are continuing to grow. So far, he doesn't know if any of the senior wizards have joined their ranks, and he doesn't think so, but he says, you know, obviously that was a good, it made sense for them to reach out to him for that reason. So that's what he said. He goes, it's unlikely, you know, he's a little embarrassed that he got taken so easily, but he's like, it made sense given the circumstances. So
okay. he didn't join the Council of Spiders.
No, but it's pretty clear that he is sympathetic to what they want to do. Like it's the Demon Weave will be beneficial to all drow. The priestesses want to do it because Loth has demanded it, and if Loth is happy, the priestesses are happy. The wizards want to do it because they think it's going to make them more powerful. Whether or not it will, it remains to be seen. But the Council of Spiders not only thinks it'll make the mages more powerful, but it'll elevate their status in drow society, which some of the more militant priestesses are like, uh-uh. Even if Law says so, we're saying no. Like,
So they disobey law.
What's that?
They're going to disobey law.
The belief is that if Loth was to say yes, males should have power, they would see it as sort of a fleeting, impulsive decision, and they're going to rely on the 1,000 years of edict that has already come before that, and of course that would draw lines down the middle through gender roles, right? The men and the women of the whole city would start fighting each other.
Right.
But they said that's not where we are. You know, like that's not where they are now. But it's clear that that's where it's going towards.
Right.
Okay. So, is there anything that your characters want to do, or anything you want to discuss without Hoshtar overhearing before you get to where you're going? Once you're there, there's not really going to be much opportunity to converse privately as a group.
Okay.
Sorry, which house were you sworn to? You were in the House of Zalarin?
I was his slave.
Right, okay, so the three of you, and then you're Brigadareth, and you're Malarin. Okay, so we've got all three groups represented. This should be good. Okay, so did anyone have anything else?
Nope, I just wanted to question Hoshtar, okay. And I feel satisfied with
this. Well, I think maybe a general kind of question with, like, probably female drow is like of the same house. Just not a question, but trying to get a sense of like the sort of. Like, hey, what's this sort of affects more of our house than the other houses. And it's sort of like, and I'm sort of want to try to, I'm trying to be on everyone's good side.
Well,
so it's
yeah.
sort of like talking
to
about starving some of the other drow party.
Brigandorf makes money either way.
And that's that's what Roquelar's going to say when you guys report back. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, and I mean, as a human in a drow world, I can't imagine your character would voice any opinion at this point. No matter how popular or unpopular it might be. You know? I think he's been around, he's obviously been around long enough to know when to keep his mouth shut, and for now, this is clearly, you know, for now, at least, is a good time to keep your mouth shut. Okay, so, with that said, you guys arrive at the predetermined location, which happens to be one of Rokalar's homes. It's a small house. It actually is in a middle-of-the-road area, you know, not too rich, not too poor, but when you go inside, it's decked out pretty good. Like, he's clearly doing pretty well for himself. He's there, and the priestess Ashala is there as well. And they.
Hang on, let me just find this thing here.
When you come before Ashala, Hashtar and Rokalar once more, this time a large audience chamber in a mansion owned by Rokalar. They listen with grave interest to your account of your deeds. So the question I've got for you guys, is there anything that you would leave out or change or embellish as far, because they would say like, what happened? You were gone for a few hours, you return, Hashtar's been beaten to a pulp. Assume that Hashtar, once you got there, Rokalar had like a servant tend to him to heal his wounds and stuff, bandage him up, serve him with some good food, you know, give him some fine wine to take the edge off.
All right.
And so,
well, I know what my boss wants to hear, so I'll just say, the work you've set us to do has been done.
Okay. Yeah. You know, rather than spend a half an hour going on, like, if we were all played the adventure, but is there any, are there any details that anyone wants to leave out? Or is it basically, we're just going to be forthcoming. This is what happened. We reveal all this info.
I'm not going to say much.
I'm going to be forthcoming about it. I'm going to put a particular emphasis on the fact that Hashtar was quite severely beaten, and he was lucky that we arrived.
So
when we
even though he's a rival house, you're gonna make it clear that if he's lying, he's doing a pretty damn good job.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I just got to make sure I've got at least in the correct order here.
Okay. So they listen to the account, and when you're done, there's a long silence as the other drow ponder your words. So the three basic leaders have, you know, they've heard what you've had to say, they've taken in, even Ashtar, there's some of the details that he probably didn't realize until now hears you recounting them. The priestess speaks up. She says, well, it appears that we have an important decision to make. If Menzoberranzan lies on the brink of a civil war, depending on what happens, how should our houses respond? So, she at this point seems genuine and wants to solicit your opinion. Now, for the female to ask for the males of their opinion, you it's not typical, but you realize the gravity of the situation. Like, this could have a huge impact on how things play out in Menzoberranzan and how drow society moves forward. So she wants to get a gauge for, you know, you guys are probably more in the know than a lot of other drow at this point. So she's trying to use your reactions to gauge how her house and the other houses will react once they get this information done. Like, your drow minds would also be thinking, if there's, you know, she's probably going to try and think of a way to spin this information for her house's benefit. But in the meantime, you need all the information before you can make a clear picture. And that's sort of where she is now. So, with this in mind, there's a couple of pieces of information that, since the game's been played out over 6 weeks, that, and that's what the summary sheet's pretty much for. So I'll just read you this. I think some of this is on that sheet as well. So this is three key pieces of information that your characters would know already. So a group of defiant priestesses seek to undermine all attempts to create Demon Weave in order to hold on to their own power. So we've talked about this before. This is like the radical priestesses, that they're like, you know, we think Loth is the greatest, rah, 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 but we think that her idea of creating the Demon Weave is just going to cause too much crap. We don't want her to create this Demon Weave. We don't want to upset the balance of drow society. We, you know, this is it. We're crazy. The ruling council, the Council of Spiders, which you guys have been actively trying to pursue here, they seek male representation on the ruling council. The idea is once this demon weave is created, the men will get power and the men should have representation. And obviously the majority of the regular priestesses, not the crazy whacked out ones, they're not wild about that, but a lot of them are probably of the opinion of, well, if Law says it's that way, then it should be that way. And although this detail you wouldn't necessarily know very well, last week there was this assassin who was clearly not tied to any of the houses or any of the factions you had encountered so far, and he seemed to be in the middle. He had these dark creepers at his side. Like, he seemed to be an interested third party who seems to just be there to poke the bear. Like, he doesn't seem to have a horse in this race. He just wants to create chaos.
Right, this is the guy that said you've started the Civil War.
Yeah, he's all like, ha ha, you've started the war and all that. But you guys killed him, and he didn't really answer any questions before he died. So, based on your understanding of the three leaders that you're here with now, this is what you would get sort of a sense of as far as their general disposition right now. So Ashala Malar feels that the Defiant Priestesses are more than likely, they're correct. The Way of Law, established as a social order in Menzoberranzan for thousands of years, cannot be overturned even by Law's current whims. The Council of Spiders should be stopped, and if that means war, then so be it.
Sorry, who was that?
That was Ashala, the priestess. Ashtar, as he's already explained, he believes that the Council of Spiders has a valid point. He doesn't necessarily agree with their methods, but he's saying if Loth becomes a goddess of arcane magic, that will give the wizards more power, and since the majority of the wizards are male, they'll be drawing on the demon weave to provide Loth with power and such, so they should have some representation on city council. It's like, you know, again, he's not trying to overturn the apple cart, but he's just trying to be, you know, realistic. Rokalar Brigadier, I think Winston already said it. He's pretty much neutral. He thinks that civil war is good for mercenaries. You know, war is good for business, so to speak. He does express that, you know, the noble houses, especially the top noble houses, war is always painful to them because they end up expending the most resources because they have the most to lose. So, you know, he's sort of on the fence, but he could easily be swayed one way or the other. All three leaders seem to be concerned about this third party that you guys have sort of mentioned, but they don't, like, nobody really knows enough about them, but they're like, you know what, we got our own problems, and whoever this is coming in out of nowhere, this is going to create even more grief. So, this is where things get a little loosey-goosey. So, the priestess has asked for your opinion. And given that this is sort of where these three leaders sit right now, this is your chance to try and convince them, all of them, one of them, two of them, none of them, of what you think is the right avenue. Keeping in mind that the male characters will certainly have a harder time convincing the female priestess of one course of action or another, and obviously the various houses will have, like, you're playing Malarin, you're going to have a harder time convincing the non-Malarin, you guys as Malarin will have a harder time convincing Brigadier, you'll have a harder time, you know, like, but she genuinely wants your opinion, and it seems that the three of them all value whatever information may come from this discussion. So, with that, it becomes a free-for-all. So she's asked for opinions, and she's looking around. She's looking around the table.
Well, I'm going to
let's start here with Rolf.
Are we trying to bluff?
So it's totally up to you on how you want to handle it. Although these three, well, I'll keep calling them just the leaders, but the three leaders seem to have sort of their initial stance. This is where, from what they've said and what you know of them, it's like, this is where they happen to be. Think of it like a needle on a gauge. And depending on your arguments, you're going to sway them one way or the other. Now, you guys may actively, you may say, swing this way, and he may say, swing that way. So you guys may end up actually arguing. Each of the leaders has their own thing. So, I mean, ideally, if you could convince all three of them of a single course of action, that would be best, because then you'd have the resources of all three working towards a common goal. What's more likely going to happen is they're not all going to agree, and so you guys have to try and gauge how far in one direction or the other are they going to go, and take it from there.
I think before we let him
Alright, well, I would like. Oh, sorry.
You were continuing.
Should we all try doing the same way?
It's up to you. Like, and at this point, there's not really an opportunity to discuss anything privately. So I'm going to assume that any dialogue that happens now more or less happens in character and is vocalized in such a way that everybody around can hear it. So, I mean, if you have questions, certainly ask me questions, but conversations between each other will be overheard by everybody. Unless you make a specific point of trying to do it quietly, in which case we need to make rolls to, you know, because the drows would certainly have the hand sign, but being in a world where everyone has sign language, you would know sort of when people sort of go like this, like they're probably giving each other secret signs. So you may be able to convey a secret message, but it'll be clear that you've said something.
So.
Did you want to start or you want to?
No.
Okay, we'll start here with Craig.
So I'm going to appeal to
your host, Malarn.
Shallow, yeah. I'm
okay.
I'm going to talk to my Malarn contact.
Okay.
So I'm going to, you know, open with saying, you know, I do agree with your stance. I think that the females, you know, they shouldn't be just looked over just on the whims of Lolth. However, this is the will of Lolth, and who are we to, you know, to question what she commands of us? And then maybe I'll quote some sort of. Some like ancient religious sort of passage or something to her.
Sort of humbling yourself as a male, but
right. You
know, doesn't like, it also say in the Bible that you should blah blah blah?
Right. No, okay. It'll be like, you know, in such and such times, these changes were made, and these are the tenets of which we stand today. We are now part of creating a new holy text.
Okay, give me a religion check first to see how this is basically a self-assist.
11 religion.
Okay, so you need an 11. So you're able to draw on the successful thing.
Right.
So now give me a diplomacy check.
Diplomacy.
And I'll give you a
10.
Plus from the. So straight up 10, you got a 0 mod?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So with the plus 2, so that gives you a 12. She's, you know, she seems to at least be listening to your argument. You know, she's clearly not, you're absolutely, you know, it's not like, you're absolutely right, men should have their equal place, but she's like, okay, good point. I'm just going to go back and forth. Like, there's a bunch of different routes that could happen. It also depends on who says what to sway them in one way or the other. So keep in mind which group your character represents and what you think your interests would be, because they may not align with what the other guys at the table's interests are.
So he looks to me?
They're looking around. And
I remove my rock helmet, including this sort of handsome human face. And I say,
so ugly! So light! Damn light skin!
I say,
round ears.
See. I perhaps use a bit of fear mongering, some intimidation. I'm not like
who are you
addressing her, but she's asking the question, right? So I shall address
well,
her.
Well, all three leaders are sort of on the fence, so you can try and influence any of them.
Okay.
But Craig started off by talking to the priestess. Like, she seems to be the dominant of the three, but each of the three have fairly directed opinions.
All right. Well, I first look to my leader, and I kind of want to answer her in the way that he would.
Okay.
So I try to use my intimidation, and I say to her, not trying to scare her, but basically using some pheromone like Constantine style, to say.
Yes, who are we to disobey the whims of Lolth? After all, she will follow her, even if she desires every death of every boy in the city, we shall follow her. This is the way of your society.
And that is what I'll just say. And I shall roll intimidation.
Sure.
20.
Okay. So again, echoing Craig's words, and she sort of chuckles. She's like, I'm glad to see all the males in this room know their place. You know, which Hoshtar does not seem to like that kind of comment. But.
And I kind of like, by trying to cozying up to her, I kind of look to my leader. I'm like, he knows what I'm talking about. So.
Yeah.
Master, may I speak?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot you played slave.
So I prostrate myself on the ground before the three of them. And what I say is, the drow are, in my eyes, the greatest race in all of Faerun. And they should be ruling all of Faerun, not just one small part of the Underdark. And to do that, we need the drow all together to be more powerful, not just one group of the drow to be more powerful. And if we allow Loth to follow her wishes to be an ultimate god and to have control over magic as well, then the drow will have that much more power and will rule Faerun.
So I don't think there's... Do you... That's definitely a very neutral position, which will definitely appeal to all three of them.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Give me a diplomacy check.
15.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you see sort of all three of them sort of going,
they're okay with that.
I'm gonna come at them and be like, listen, what is best for
again the priestess you're addressing or
addressing all of them?
Okay,
I'm addressing them all and saying, listen, we have built these great societies, drow, and we must preserve this. What we need is not to have a revolution. We need to or a civil war. We need to keep the peace and to. Not to disrupt anything. I know maybe this goes against my house's wishes. But I believe it's best that we preserve the way of Loth as it is now. And not let this demon weave happen.
So, oh, sure.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to approach everybody the same way.
Sure. Okay, give me the bonus check.
And then while I'm doing it, I'm actually going to use my suggestion to
okay.
use Kana instead. So that's an 18.
Okay. So the priestess is like, I agree. She seems very much on board with, you know, the way of, you know, let's this, the demon weave potentially is a tool for Loth to use, but things need to stay the same. She's like, the only way to accomplish this is to squash the Council of Spiders. They represent an unnecessary change, and we should join our forces to exterminate the Council of Spiders. They're clearly an upstart group that is just going to, you know, plunge our society into unnecessary chaos. And like, Hoshtar is losing his mind at this point.
Failed to convince her then.
No, she's on board with it.
No, because I was for the council. I was like, male, because male should. I was trying to stop it.
Yeah, she's totally going the other way with that.
Alright.
But Hoshtar is starting to get really angry, and he starts yelling at her, and he's like, you know, you're so short-sighted, and, you know, there's even more power to be had by doing this, and she's like, and, you know, and they're getting to the point where they're getting ready to fight each other. Like, they're getting pretty angry. Does anyone want to stand up for one or the other?
I will. I'll stand up for Loth. That's how I'll say it. I'm standing for what Loth wishes.
Me
so,
too.
I come from the mighty house Millard, and I will address okay. Shala for this. So I'm kind of getting a little more cocky about it. And we've always supported the word of Loth at all costs. I don't see any reason that we would stop that now.
I support you in the way I support Loth. So I'm like, as house brave, part brave, house brave enough, even as a slave, I support Loth and her decision.
And so you're not above this, her. Is it, however, I do think we do need to squash the Council of Spiders, but I don't believe that that we need to also squash Loth's plans. I think we need to come together, we need to unite, or else the terrorists win.
Yeah. Ronan, what do you think?
I'm just going to say absolutely nothing in the type of, nothing's going on.
Strong silent types.
Yeah.
Nodding in the background. Okay. Hoshtar is, like, losing his mind, because, like, it seems that everyone's starting to at least agree with the priestess that the Council of Spiders represents an unnecessary change. And Hoshtar is very vocal. He's like, you know, Loth demands the demon weave, we make the demon weave. He's like, the Council of Spiders is only asking that Loth's will, which we believe will be raising status for the males, be supported by the priestess. And you get, you know, like, he starts calling her, and he's like, your short-sightedness is going to hurt our society and plunge us in unnecessary combat. Does anybody take his side?
Is there a possibility to go up to him and speak to him privately without anybody else hearing?
Yeah, you can sort of like...
So I'm going to pull him over to me and be like... Yeah. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically be like this. We join forces with them, crush the demon, leave. at least Salorn chance to sort of take power for himself once this opposition faction.
So you're saying crush this secret society council?
I'm trying to bluff him up to think like kind of cool his jets a little bit.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I get what you're saying. So
basically, trying to tell him that like let's join forces and say that Salorn is
okay.
Dread, and then we can backstab everybody back.
Okay.
I'm basically just trying to bluff him out.
Yeah. Okay.
Get him on our side.
Okay.
So I'm gonna try to bluff him and see if he can believe what I'm saying. That's a 24.
Yeah. I mean, that's so it's a drow. They're always looking for a way to gain the upper hand. So he's calms down a little bit, and the priestess even says, she's like, what's your character's name?
Forgrim.
Sorry?
Forgrim.
Forgrim. She's like, so Forgrim sort of is able to calm him down for a minute, and she's like, whatever Forgrim is telling you, you know, he's obviously on the right track, so Hoshar, cool down. You know, you represent a powerful house. Like, Hoshar's house is more powerful than hers, right? She says, like, you represent a powerful house. I respect your matron greatly. She has immense power to be gained from the Demon Weave. But the Council of Spiders is a rogue group that reports to nobody, that you know, has dreams and goals that are unrealistic and are only going to hurt Drow society and contradict the way of love.
Well, I'm trying to convince, I guess, Hoshtar, is it? The wizard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say, I say to him,
she speaks reason. As you can see, if we allow the Council of Spiders to run amok, they follow no leaders, no telling whose side there truly is on. Not even Los, perhaps.
And that certainly, Hoshtar understands the way that society works, right? Like, I assume all males, regardless of what role they choose in Drow society, would still realize that the women are superior and that the men are subservient to them. So your arguments, they continue to sort of cool them down a bit. So up until this point, Rokalar Brigadareth, he's just been sort of chilling out on the side, and he hasn't said anything, he hasn't weighed in. He seems sort of neutral and likely to side one way or the other, but so far he hasn't said anything. You guys think that if he was to weigh in one way or the other, that could sort of be the tiebreaker here?
I shall be the one to ask him for it.
Before that, on the sheet that was handed out here, it talks about there are six most likely outcomes to this. I just want to draw your attention to that, because I want to make sure that you realize that ultimately you want to work towards one of these objectives, or another one that if you can think of it, but I think these pretty much cover it. So the first one is support the Defiant Priestesses. So this is the idea that the Demon Weave shouldn't be created at all, because it's just going to create too much trouble. Number two, they're trying to exterminate the Defiant Priestess. Trying to exterminate the Defiant Priestesses. Basically, these priestesses may be priestesses, and I know I'm supposed to respect them, but they're going off the deep end, and if we just take care of them, everything will go back to normal. Number three is support the Council of Spiders, which obviously is Hoshtar's initial assessment. Number four is try to exterminate the Council of Spiders, which is pretty much Ashala's thing, is that they're always canon, right? Number five is pursue the spinning of the Demon Weave without supporting male representation on the council. So that's, again, that's sort of four and five are certainly along the same lines. And number six is just let the cards fall where they may. You know, we'll do what you ask us to do, but we're not taking sides.
All right. I
think number six is the most boring, but
I suggest. And is thinking of like a breaking yard bottom line here.
Yeah.
I just say.
This is addressing Rokalar.
Yeah, both. I'm addressing all of them, but mostly the breaking yard bottom line here. I just say. Both this Council of Spiders and the militant priestesses have proved
have proved disloyal to Loth. They should both be taken care of, or they shall form a stain on Drow society history as a whole, if any one of them are to continue.
To which I would offer up the argument that, not argument, but to say that we need to oppose the Council of Spiders, because the only reason these priestesses are defiant is because of the threat the Council of Spiders poses.
Yeah, the males say we want power, and the priestesses are like, we aren't having any of that.
Yeah, the Council of Spiders...
I mean, all the priestesses are saying that, but the radical priestesses are like, not only are we not having any of that, we're just going to kill everybody!
Yeah, they're being driven to opposite extremes because of the introduction of this Council of Spiders.
Definitely.
So we need to... flatten out that wrinkle and everything will fall into place. We'll get Loth her demon weave and things will go as Loth has planned.
I bow to your insights, good friend.
Okay, so and Rogalar, again, he seems to be leaning towards that idea. I mean, it seems that he's like a combat guy anyway, so he's going to want an option that lets him kill people. So, I saw you were taking notes. You want to jump in here?
My character, maybe just general conversation. I'm basically for crushing the Council of Spiders, and I'm leaning towards the priestess just because of the. The sort of staying power of the, you know, keeping the society as is.
Okay.
So it's sort of like...
The priest decided to stop the demon weave, too.
The main priestesses, if Loth says make the demon weave, they're going to make the demon weave. But the extreme priestesses are like, the Council of Spiders and the demon weave are all part of the same problem. Let's get rid of all of it. And that's, I think, the point these guys were making was, you know, that is such an extreme that if we can take out the trigger, maybe they'll come back off the ledge and support the more, you know, level decision.
Yeah, that's kind of my argument to try and appeal to Ashala's sort of sense, but at the same time, to get Hashtar on our side as well.
Yeah. So, and I think after this discussion, Hashtar is sort of coming around, especially after hearing, you know, sort of your arguments privately, that for now they realize that they need to find the leaders of this Council of Spiders and take them out so that the formal, organized Council of Spiders can be done with. The idea, I think, that Hashtar has been sort of sold on is whether there's a Council of Spiders or not, if the Demon Weave happens, the cards will fall where they may, and the male still may gain power, but that's not something that has to be vocalized. It's not something that has to be discussed in public. Let's sort of see what happens.
And I would also add in, too, that the Council of Spiders is seen in league with an interested third party, which we need to know more about, because clearly there's interest other than Loth's.
And that they all agree on. They're like, you know what, that's sort of the linchpin. They're like, definitely. So we'll call that one, we'll sort of stop that there. So after the discussion, the leaders say that they're going to return to their houses and report to their masters, or in the case of the two houses, the matron mothers. Discuss what's been revealed here and figure out what lies ahead. They urge you to do the same. To, you know, obviously each of you reports to different groups, so your respective leaders are like, come with me. So whatever ends up happening next, life in Menzoberranzan will never be the same. So that's the end of the session.
Okay.